Hello and welcome to London by Guide. My name's Isabel. I'm an award-winning London Blue Badge guide and city guide. And since the beginning of lockdown, I've started to turn my hand to podcasting. A few years ago, I devised a walk around the Cut, Lower Marsh and Waterloo. And today's podcast is taken from that walk. Although it covers a fairly small area, the content is fairly wide-ranging, including where John Sainsbury began his retail career as a grocer's assistant, the site of William Curtis's Royal Botanical Gardens, the place where the first Daleks were made, a community mosaics enterprise set up by an ex-teacher, as well as local markets, music halls and theatres. Unsurprisingly, the railway features quite extensively. When the London and Southampton Railway first opened in 1838, its terminus was at Nine Elms, the neighbourhood where the new American Embassy is located. It was a gateway to the world. A three-hour journey to Southampton took passengers to steamboats and on to international travel. It was renamed the London and Southwestern Railway in 1845, and 3 years later, a new terminus, more convenient for city commuters, opened at Waterloo. Today, it is Britain's busiest station, with around 100 million passengers per annum. It has more platforms and a greater floor area than any other station. In 2012, a new balcony opened, housing shops and businesses. Yet, within living memory, Waterloo was a grim, dark place. The original station had four platforms for steam trains, roughly where platforms 7 to 12 are now. As rail travel increased, so the station grew. And by the end of the 19th century, there were 18 platforms in three different sections, with at least one line that came straight through onto a central concourse. Passengers had to navigate their way around via rickety ramps and smelly tunnels. It was a mess, confusing and inefficient, satirised in Jerome K. Jerome's 1889 novel Three Men in a Boat, where the protagonists, failing to find their train, end up bribing a train driver to take them on his train to their destination of Kingston-on-Thames. With over 700 trains coming in and out of the station every day, action was needed. The newly built station opened in March 1922. Queen Mary cut the ribbon, and if you look on YouTube, you'll find the footage. She mounted the steps beneath the Victory Arch, showing Britannia holding the Torch of Liberty, flanked by Bellona, Roman goddess of war, and Athena representing courage and wisdom. The names of the greatest fields of battle of the First World War are set around a glazed arch with a clock in a sunburst, and the names of the 585 London and South Western Railway employees killed in the Great War are shown on bronze plaques. Over the years, Waterloo Station has made numerous film and TV appearances, but for British audiences at least, the most loved of these was when Del Boy met Raquel for the first time under the famous four-faced clock in an episode of Only Fools and Horses. From Waterloo, you can take the train to a place called Brookwood near Woking. Here you'll find a cemetery and a golf course. By the mid-19th century, burial sites in London were hard to come by. The population had more than doubled with increasing urbanisation, and with it, the demand for burial space boomed. Graves were reused with alarming regularity. The bones of previous occupants left scattered across graveyards, and matter from decomposing bodies leaked into drinking wells and springs, greatly increasing the risk of disease. Cholera outbreaks from infected water killed around 15,000 Londoners. Something had to be done. Sir Richard Brune suggested buying a 200-acre plot at Brookwood and building a cemetery that would be easily accessible from London by railway, yet far enough away to mean no health hazard, and would be cheap enough for affordable funerals. Not everyone was convinced. Charles Blomfield, Bishop of London, thought people might be shocked to to find the corpse of their dear departed sharing a carriage with that of a profligate spendthrift. However, an Act of Parliament in 1852 created the London Necropolis and National Mausoleum Company, later simply the London Necropolis Company. The London and South Western Railway became partners and looked forward to the extra revenue it would accrue. The London Necropolis Company had its own rolling stock and a terminus on York Road by Waterloo Station. The Bishop of London's fears were addressed by offering no less than six distinct categories of travel accommodation, with the dead having as much choice as the living. Conformist and non-conformist corpses and mourners would travel in segregated carriages. So there would be a hearse carriage for members of the Church of England yoked to a carriage for the Church of England mourners, and another hearse carriage for non-Church of England corpses yoked to a carriage for its mourners. At the cemetery, the Church of England dead were buried on the sunny south side, the non-conformist dead on the sunless north. Further distinctions were according to whether the corpse and its mourners travelled first, second or third class. So in death, as in life, money and class played its part. The terminus in York Road was replaced in 1902 by a new one on Westminster Bridge Road, where you can still see the facade. The opening of 32 new London cemeteries between the 1850s and the 1870s meant Brookwood Cemetery never made the profits that were anticipated. It continued until the Second World War, but the terminus was hit by a bomb in April 1941, and the station was closed down, never to reopen. Not everyone who rode the Necropolis Railway was heading for a funeral. In the 1850s, the Act which created the company had fixed the fares, fares which were not increased until 1939. By the start of the 20th century, this meant that it was considerably cheaper to buy return tickets to Brookwood on Necropolis trains than on regular London Southwestern Railway services. So golfers heading for the West Hill Golf Club, situated beside the cemetery, would sometimes dress as mourners to take advantage of the lower cost of the tickets. There is still evidence of a track from the station to West Hills Clubhouse, believed to have been made by these penny-pinching golfers. That's all for today. Please stay safe and keep well.